6 of the Dirksen building in Washington tomorrow, the Senate Judiciary Committee will consider whether to protect some of America's most powerful corporate executives from the legal consequences of having spied on the rest of us in this country. And on our third story tonight, an AT&T whistleblower today told members of Congress much more than that is at stake with the secret crimes that took place at room 641A of AT&T's Folsom Street facility in San Francisco and potentially at others across the country. Specifically, retired 22-year AT&T technician Mark Klein says that despite Mr. Bush's claims, the U.S. government used AT&T's cooperation to spy not only on overseas communications, but to vacuum up virtually all of America's use of the internet for years. Email, Googling, web surfing, you name it. Thanks to AT&T's secure rooms like 641A in San Francisco. Cisco, accessible only to those cleared by the NSA. Klein obtaining AT&T schematics showing how the company used splitters to send secure room 641A a duplicate of every fiber optic signal routed through its facilities. And involved not just AT&T customers, but virtually every internet and telecommunications company, and virtually all email and web traffic in the country. Without a warrant, without any mechanism for separating domestic from overseas, without separating suspect from citizen. We welcome now former AT&T technician Mark Klein, whose documentation and claims are now part of a class action lawsuit against AT&T, one of 38 telecom spy lawsuits. AT&T so far declining to comment on the specifics of these allegations. Mr. Klein, great thanks for speaking out tonight.
Thanks for inviting me.
The Senate is considering granting the telecom executives immunity. You lobbied Congress today not to do so. How come?
Well, if they give them immunity, it would probably shut down the lawsuit that I'm a witness for, and then the American people won't find out what's really going on. And so that's why I'm here, to stop immunity. Congress should let the judicial process go forward.
Two-parter here. First, can you explain to those of us who can use the internet but would not be able to tell the difference between its physical form and, you know, a box full of guitar strings, exactly what happened in that secure room or secret room, 641A?
I don't know what goes on in the secret room because I didn't have security clearance, but I know what went on outside because my job, I worked in the internet room. My job was to connect circuits into the splitter device, which was hardwired to the secret room. And effectively, the splitter copied the entire data stream of those internet cables into the secret room. And we're talking about phone conversations, email, web browsing, everything that goes across the internet. And that device, the splitters, is a dumb device. It doesn't do any selection at all.
And the follow-up to that, as you mentioned, you didn't have the security, the NSA clearance. So give us an idea how you know all this, in addition, obviously, to your expertise as a technician.
Well, as a technician, I had the engineering wiring documents, which told me how the splitter was wired to the secret room. And so I had to know that in order to do my job. And so I know that the whatever went across those cables was copied, and the entire data stream was copied into the secret room. The splitter device has no selective capability, just copies everything. And we're talking about domestic traffic as well as international traffic. And that's what got me upset to begin with.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Mr. Klein, this huge distinction the White House made when all this was first revealed, what its defenders still say, oh, we're just intercepting international communications, no domestic communications were affected. I'm taking you don't buy that in the slightest.
No, I know that wasn't true. Mm. And that's what got me going in December 05 when the New York Times revealed this, and then the administration came back, the president himself and his various cabinet people trying to argue, and they still do, that it's just international communications. It just affects a handful of people who are making phone calls to the Middle East. And I know the physical equipment, and I know that statement is not true. It involves millions of communications, a lot of it domestic communications, that they're copying wholesale, sweeping up into that secret room.
When you saw this and realized what was going on, what was this like? Was this like sitting there and finding yourself in a scene from the sci-fi flick Invasion of the Body Snatchers? Did it have that sort of horror quality
to
it?
Well, I had this. Actually, I'm a little older, so my thought was George Orwell's 1984, yeah. And here I am being forced to connect the Big Brother machine.
Oh, boy.
And I felt that, you know, I was in a funny position, but I needed my job, so I didn't want to make a fuss at the time. But after I retired, I thought about it some more.
In talking to Congress today, what did you hear? Did you get a sense that anybody's prepared to go after not just the telecom execs, but the government officials who ordered this?
I couldn't tell. I'm not a politician, and they play their cards close to the vest. All I can do is emphasize again that they're copying everything. This is a violation of the Constitution. It's domestic traffic. It's phone calls as well as email. And something should be done to stop it. And Congress should not kill the judicial process.
The nice thing is that if there is anything that's going to stop it, it's going to be because people like you have the courage to do something about
it.
Mark Klein, formerly of AT&T, great thanks for joining us, and great thanks for what you're doing. Truly.
Thank you.